I go for refuge into the reminder of the Buddha's teaching in the spirit of the community. By the merit of listening to the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings. I go for refuge into the reminder of the Buddha's teaching in the spirit of the community. By the merit of listening to the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings. I go for refuge and full enlightenment to the Buddha, the teaching, and the spirit of the community. By the merit of listening to the teachings, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all living beings.
Yeah.
Is it on?
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect. Very good.
Very good.
Good morning, everybody. We have a Geshe-la here today. He came to help me tomorrow for the rituals. And today he arrived and he asked me if he could come. I said yes and help me. So he's a Geshe. So from time to time I may ask questions to him. Or I'll direct all the questions to him. Last weekend, in two sessions, we talked about three turnings of the wheels. Then we went through the three Buddhist councils, which are historical events. Then we talked about, briefly we mentioned about the Lavasun, the three shikshas, three higher learnings. In that context, we just mentioned 10 non-virtuous and virtuous deeds, and we said everybody knows it, no need to talk about it. So, yeah, still, I want to make one or two footnotes or comments from the 10 non-virtuous deeds. You don't have to go one by one. The first is killing. Killing, we all think, or killing, everybody knows what is killing. Yes. Here, to complete the action of non-virtuous deeds of killing, I think easiest way of remembering is the verse from Abhidharma Kosh. So chupani samhindu manovani jensevo. Can you translate that?
So
chupani. The killing is Sanshin, with intention. Manova means without mistake. without mistake about the subject, whom you want to kill, Manoah. And then Shem. Shem is other than oneself. Okay? That means if you kill with the intention of killing that very person or animal or living being without mistake, not wanting to kill someone else and you end up killing another person or another animal, whatever. Shen means other than oneself. If these are complete, then the action of non-virtuous of killing is complete. Then any of these these factors are missing, then it is not complete action, but it doesn't mean it's okay. For example, okay, this other, what about killing oneself? That's committing suicide. Committing suicide itself is a horrible thing to do, because we consider our life as human being is something golden opportunity. I could do many useful things for others and for oneself to reach to Buddhahood. So to destroy such life, that is one's own life, is very wrong. Not just non-virtuous thing, but it is horrible thing. Especially if someone is on the path of Vajrayana, then we are supposed to consider our aggregates and deities, right? Pumbunga, the five aggregates. Pumbusange nga dani, dela, yeje, ane pare, kusumare. That is certain. I didn't see. It is a pratum, okay? Root what? Pratum. Root kind.
Root infraction or something?
Yeah. So that is, even if you don't take good care of your body, that's also something wrong according to the Vajrayana system. So killing oneself is very wrong. Okay, that's something about killing of the three non-virtuous actions of body. And there are four non-virtual sections of voice, verbal actions, I think among them, the trauma, what do you use normally?
A divisive speech.
Divisive speech, okay. It's very serious, I think. Because divisive speech is not only dividing two persons, it can also be dividing two groups, two societies, and two sections of society or two nations, you know, it can go on. So divisive speech is serious. We mentioned about this schism, the split of Sangha in the history, early days, soon after Buddha's parinirvana. I don't know whether those who are responsible, their intention is to divide. Anyway, it did cause division. So, in today's world, also, if you make any statement or if you take any action which causes or may cause divisions within human society, that is that's very heavy non-virtuous deeds from the point of religion. So they should be noted. Then among the three non-virtuous acts of mind, nursing is
malice.
And literally, never samba. Like wishing harm to others. It may not be that you have intention of harming, but wishing some bad thing comes to someone else. I think, am I right? Listen, that is bad. One should not mistake, no, having dislike. You may dislike certain person. That is not nesim. You may dislike and you may avoid certain person. That is one thing. But wishing that you know something very bad happens to that person is, I think, nesim. In this case here, so these are just some footnotes. Generally, it is said that three acts of body, four acts of speech is seven. The the earliest are heavier, 1 to 7 in that order. The latter ones are relatively lighter. So among the 7, the killing is the heaviest, because you are willing, I mean, you are destroying someone's life. And in there's nothing more more cherishable. Something happens. For example, if your hand is stuck some machine, and then the only way to save your life is to cut your limb. We will let it happen, isn't it? So like that, everybody cherishes its own life more than anything else. So the killing is the heaviest among the 7. And then it said among the 3 acts of mind, later on are heavier, backward. Lokta is heaviest, the wrong view. Then nursing, the harmful thought of harming. Nafsim, what is nafsim?
Nafsim is covetousness.
Oh, I can't repeat that. Okay. So like that, is it clear? One more thing, stealing, people like us, nobody will think of stealing something. Stealing can be, you know, smaller, pocketing something, pickpocketing, or, you know, just taking something belonging to you, up to like bank robbery. All these are machinery, taking things which don't belong to you. It's unlike that, you know, we people gathered here, will any of us will commit this. But then generally speaking, there are other acts which comes in this category, like evading tax, you know. I don't think it happens in this country.
No.
Does it happen?
A lot.
And some, I know some other countries it happens, evading tax. You must pay to the government, because it belongs to the government, in that way it belongs to the general public, right? So if you manage to avoid giving tax, and then you think you've been smart, that's wrong. Okay, I think that's enough about the 10 non-religious deeds. One thing more about killing. Killing, yeah, any of these deeds, generally people talk, people ask, what is geva and what is not geva? What is virtuous and what non-virtuous? And then some people ask, if I do this, is there digpa? Is it sinful? It depends on your intention, right? Dosha shedan timusum ane tike lene migevo. Anything which is created, which is how do we say kunanam? With the motivation of the attachment, habit, and ignorance, they are non-virtuous deeds. And the opposite is virtuous or neutral, whatever. So killing for there exists, for example, killing for the attachment to the flesh of animal, because you want to eat meat and things like that is attachment. Killing someone which you hate, that is shedan. Killing something, some living things with the idea of it doesn't matter. That is timu, ignorance. But one thing I want to mention is, one more thing is, like killing for eating is also non-virtuous, no doubt. But killing for enjoyment is more terrible. Like fishing is as sport, hunting is enjoyment. You know, in India, Indian history, the earlier royal kings, the Maharajas, it's considered to be a royal sign to hunt and kill tigers, and then they you know, they are very proud, and in many cases I was told that actually they have not killed, someone else kills, and then they are, the honor is given to the Raja, and photos are taken like that. Anyway, as enjoyment, as a fun, as a sport, that is terrible. But then there are those who live on such streets, fishing villages are there, and the fishing is their life. And there is no other source of livelihood for them. What can we do? We can only pray for them. But my remark is, killing as a sport. These fishermen, they don't think it's fun. It's their livelihood, right? But for killing for fun is terrible, more terrible. Then we talked about Four Noble Truths, and we looked how noble they are. Mm-hmm. And we also said maybe it's better to call for higher truths. Talked about suffering, we talked about Gunjung, source of all, I said. Today we will mention something about next two higher truths. The third higher truth is cessation, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Higher truth of cessation, Ngopa in Tibetan, Sanskrit, Nirodh.
Nirodha.
Gopa means gopa or karma. Stoppage. Blockade. You are stopping a stream of something. That is gopa. And that cessation. If we lack Chura,
Chura?
Chunzi.
Oh. Means.
Nagarjuna Sagar Yuva.
Reservoir?
No. That.
A river? Huh?
Then, yeah.
Oh, then.
What? What? Then, yeah. It was, the word was not coming. It's like building a dam. You stop certain flow. That's gopa. As easy as that. Gopa can be of two kinds, generally speaking. Sosota means gopa. The cessation of gopa, which is not not a result of investigating wisdom, investigating wisdom, certain things stopped into coming into being because certain conditions are not present. Like if you have seeds of a tree and you keep it in your refrigerator, it will not grow because it needs water, it needs earth, it needs the whole, you know, atmosphere. There is this cessation, it is not. But if you burn that seed, then it will never come. That's like sosota means gopa. No, that is like sosota and gopa. If you, through your meditation of wisdom, and then the stream of stream of suffering is stopped, that is the real Gopa, the Gopa we are talking about here. So Tangpen Gopa. I found a quotation by Asanga in number 10 of a door. I don't remember the Sanskrit word, number 10 of a door. I think normally it's a door. Talks about the four noble truths in very simple way. It says what is truth of suffering is that which came from affliction. What is Gunjun Denpa? What is the source of all truth? It says, Gunjun Denpa is that which causes the truth of suffering. What is truth of cessation? It says, truth of cessation is both this suffering, truth of suffering and truth of source of all, both are ceased. How do you make the sentence?
Both cease.
What is truth of path? It says, truth of path is to achieve the three objects means three bodhis, three realizations, that is Shravaka, Pratyeka Buddha, and perfect Buddha, Buddhahood, the Changchu. The realization of Shravaka, the realization of Pratyeka Buddha, and the realization of Samyak Sambuddha. So, this kind of quotation is sometimes very useful. In certain ways, it sounds too simplistic. But it makes, it gives the whole idea. Because certain people, they start from fine details and then get lost somewhere. And then they say, oh, it's very profound and things like that. Okay. Now, fourth is Lamji Denpa, the truth, higher truth of path. Higher truth of path, when we say path, in Buddhist terminology, path is the main teaching, path. Lam, in Tibet, the body of path here is Lapsung. Not Lapsung Shedu Ling, but Lapsung. Lavasung. Okay? And can you just mention three things, just three names, Lovelsome in English?
Want me to mention them?
To get me some time.
Meditative stabilization and wisdom.
Again?
Ethical discipline, meditative stabilization, and wisdom are the three learnings.
Three learnings.
Yeah.
Three higher learnings.
Three higher learnings.
Padme levels from, okay. First is discipline, Sheila. And second is samadhi or concentration. And third is wisdom. There's one here. At times I wonder, you know, I think, you know, there are so many texts written by Tibetan lamas, Sumbums, collected works of so many lamas, hundreds of lamas, and thousands of bundles of collected works, and then there are so many Lanrims, Lojongs, Tantric, you know, Kerim, Torim, then so many rituals, and then commentary to the philosophical texts, commentary to the Tantric texts, and things like that. Big and small texts. I've never come across with a commentary separately with that title of three shikshas. Have you seen?
Three higher learning
yeah. Separately attacked?
No.
Why nobody thought? Why nobody thought of that? Okay. Answer. Somebody should answer. Why? Okay. I think the Tibetan Buddhism came from Atisha and Lamdun and Lamrim. And you say, when you talk Lamrim, normally people think, oh, it is specifically Gelugpa, something to do with Gelugpa. Lamrim is the system established by Atisha Dipankara. And in this, the presentation or the system of teaching is Kevusum, three three abilities, three capabilities, persons with three capabilities.
Or capacities.
Three capacities, okay. Persons of three capacities, smaller, medium, and great. So this system, people are introduced first in the person of lesser capacity, Kyevu Chungmo. But with the intention of taking the same person, leading the same person through the medium and the great levels. So that's why we call Chungmo Dang, Tungmowa, the path which is common with the lesser people with personal lesser capacity. Then the same person is introduced to the second one, the path of a person, path for the person of medium capacity. And finally, they are introduced to the path of the great capacity persons. So how it is done is, first is to get the idea of renunciation, and they also call it departure, wishing to depart from samsaric existence. Hwa le tande o min jung. Right? And that is done through the first two levels, smaller and medium. After that, the same person is supposed to enter into the path of greater capacity. So the higher learning of discipline, Shila or Sujin, comes in the at this point. After getting the idea of renunciation or departure, one gets the idea of having a disciplined life. And maybe with a vow, take a vow that is shooting the love, that is to do with discipline, the first of the three higher learnings. Then left are two, the learning of concentration, learning of wisdom. They are dealt with at the time of uh person with practice of person with greater capacity, because there the main thing is to generate bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is mind of enlightenment, or what?
Or spirit of enlightenment.
Spirit of, yeah. Spirit of. Why not mind of?
Mind of enlightenment.
It means enlightened mind?
Yeah, usually you'd say enlightened mind or something like that. Not mind of enlightenment. It's a little more awkward.
Yeah. Awkward.
Yeah. Don't know what you're talking
about. I don't know
why. It could be the Buddha's mind is a mind of enlightenment. That means, that means really the Buddha's mind. Yeah.
Spirit, yeah. Okay. High spirit. High spirit of enlightenment. Okay. After getting bodhicitta, I think this kind of thing we should all learn. The Sanskrit or Tibetan, this kind of highly technical words, it's difficult to have exact translation. After generating bodhicitta, the work is to engage in the six parameters, six perfections. And among the six parameters, six perfections, the fifth is samadhi, sixth is pragya, chill. So here we have the three higher shikshas, three higher learnings, complete within the three, the system of three, system of lanrim, okay? How much time left?
About 45 minutes.
Oh, okay. The order of traveling through the path. Very roughly, if we speak very roughly, it will be, you know, from those things we talked, it should be something like this. First thing is to think about rakpe mitak, but the coarse impermanence. That is jiva mitapa, impermanence of life. And everybody knows what is jiva mitapa or impermanence of life. And everybody must have read something, must have heard many times. But basically, the idea is long met. In Tibetan, this word long me, you know? how do you call it?
A hard one to do. There's no, that's difficult. But there's no time, something
like
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Long me means there's no time. The sense of there's no time. Because we always tend to think, the natural tendency is, okay, I would like to do every time. Now the long man means there's no time. there's no time, it doesn't mean that your days are, I mean, normal way, your days are counted, your hours are counted. They may be counted, but it doesn't mean in that way, normal way. It doesn't mean that, oh, I may die tonight. But to live for another occasion and to wait for another opportunity, that is something which goes against idea of Chivamitabha, impermanence, idea of impermanence of life. When we get that idea, the next idea is if I go to another world, what kind of world would that be? Do we have any guarantee, insurance? Nobody can give you that insurance. Insurance that you will not be reborn as a animal. Or as a hungry ghost, or as a, those demigods, Tamayin, Tamayin, they're called demigods.
Yeah.
Demigods, have you heard? It's supposed to be, they are supposed to be terrible people. Always jealous, wanting to fight. they are supposed to be fighting all the time with celestial beings, devas. But that apart, it's uncertain. There's uncertainty, that is the main point. So what has to be done is to take a refuge, to take refuge. Take refuge means it's everybody can talk, take refuge, and it also involves chanting the refuge taking verses as we did in the beginning. All these are good, but taking is because we have to understand what, how they help us. Buddha means, when we think Buddha, we think the historical Buddha. Certainly, that is correct. Then we should also think the Buddha, the would-be Buddha. We are would-be Buddhas, okay? And then when we become Buddha, that is the ultimate way of so how do you say, saving us by Buddha? Reduji Buddha, Reduji Sangha. Resultant Buddha, I think. Resultant Buddha is what translated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Resultant. Yudhiji Sangha means the Buddha, which is someone else than others, than us. And the resultant Buddha it does not exist now. When we become Buddha, that is a resultant Buddha, Jaidiji Sangha, right? Jaidiji Sangha. Tonga, Baba? Ani? Ah, Sangha ke shikyab. Tere tanda. Dimat kere. How do you say?
That demonstrates the refuge in the Buddha.
Yeah, that's the rare meaning of refuge in the Buddha, okay? And in the same way, taking refuge in Dharma, certainly, you know, practicing the path, following the path shown by Buddha, is Dharma, okay? And when we are successful in following the path, then as we mentioned earlier, we achieve the higher truth of cessation. This is Dharma. This is ultimate Dharma. This is the real Dharma. Generally, we can say taking refuge to Dharma means following the path. That's enough. Following the path is taking refuge in the Dharma. Gendun, taking refuge in Sangha, Gendun, is also same. When we reach certain path, Tonglam, path of seeing. When we reach the path of seeing, we become part of Gedun, the Sangha. And that is the meaning of saving us by Sangha. So in this way, taking refuge in Triple Jain, meaning the idea is they save us from some problems. And how do they save? How do they save? Buddha, showing the path, Dharma, as we follow the path, then we ourselves achieve the same status like Sangha members. That Sangha members means, it depends on which context. Sangha can also mean the monks and nuns. But generally speaking, when you reach that path, you receive the status, the status of Sangha. So in this way, practice Kyamdo, taking refuge, and that should be followed the That should be followed by the doing exactly what we are told and not doing what we are told not to. Nenje, following the rule of karma, Then after that, we have to recognize the Chapman Tuji Dungyal, all pervasive suffering, or all pervasive problem of systemic. I like that, systemic problem. Yeah. I said systemic, because the system itself, don't we say, the system, there's something wrong in the system itself. I like that. That is problem. And dunge, we say dunge in Sanskrit. We say dukkha. In English, suffering, always we say suffering, and suffering of change, suffering of what? It's difficult.
Systemic suffering.
Systemic suffering. Suffering is a strange word. Etymologically, actually, I don't know why it's called dunge ki dunge. I think it means obviously, obvious suffering. And jure dunge means jurna dunge. When it changed, it's suffering. When it changed, then yes, disease from systemic. Systemic, if someone doesn't pronounce properly, it becomes stomach. It can be like that, huh? I think the main machines are here of body. A systemic stomach problem can cause many problems of health. Huh? Anyway, that is a joke. So recognizing all these things and then knowing the root of that is ignorance. And what is ignorance? Is the not knowing. It's not only not knowing, but holding some view which is exactly opposite of the right knowledge. In that way, after that, then into the practice of Lam Den, into the practice of Lam, into the practice of following the path. And after that, the thought of the thought of expanding that thought, expanding to others, to all other living beings. As I am in this kind of situation, all the other living beings are also exactly the same. In the same situation. In that way, compassion, karuna, niji, and then that brings the bodhicitta When we generate bodhicitta, then we have entered actually in the path. Five paths. There are five paths. I'll just mention the names. I don't ask about details. We don't have the time. And I also don't remember many of the details. But it is suffice to mention like solemn. First, solemn is part of accumulation, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
We are just accumulating things and trying to do something. The second is, the first is solemn, the second is jhalam, the path of application.
Or preparation.
Preparation is already gone. What would you say? Jhalam?
Preparation.
Okay. You? Do preparation, jhalam. What is Sanskrit?
What is that?
I don't remember. Someone's taking preparation. Okay. Let us stay with the tradition, it seems, tradition of Lapsang Shedubling. The second is path of preparation. And within that, there are four stages, etc. But then, what happens is the knowledge of Shunyata, knowledge of emptiness, is gains more strength. And the power of the shine, shamatha, also becomes more stable. And then the combination of these two gains more, becomes more strong. That is at the time of jhalam, or path of preparation, okay? I thought this application, you apply many things. The third is part of seeing, part of direct seeing, actually. It's when you see or when you realize directly the nature of shunyata, nature of emptiness, nature of Sambhani, then you have entered on the third path, Tonglam. Tonglam means seeing, because you are seeing, you have seen the Shunyata directly. Directly means without conceptual or mental fabrication or conceptual thoughts, directly seeing Shunyata. Is the path of seeing, then path of meditation. That just means keep on meditating. Then different layers of pangja, faults are eliminated, and new and fresh realizations are achieved in this process. The last is the normal learning, part of the normal learning. It's also called path because it's part of the whole system, right? Spiritual system. I came across with a quotation in the Vita. Madhyanta Vibhanga. Madhyanta Vibhanga. Vita. By Asanga. Familiar? Madhya, Anta, it's not Madhyamika. Udanta. Madhya, Anta, Vibhanga. Anyway, that doesn't matter the name. It says, Dhamma Shila Duchaya, Dhamma Nyava Shabakom. It talks about four mindfulness. After achieving the path of the first path, solemn path of accumulation, then you go ahead with the meditation of Chambanyava Shavashi, or this. This four mindfulness is a little bit different from the usual or a popular four mindfulness found in the Shravakayana Theravada. All are related with Dhamma. Normally we this four things: body, lid, sova, feeling, sen, mind, chu is in this case I think phenomena. They are all linked with self. So to deal with self clinging, we meditate on this. We deal with these four things. We consider our body as the place for self. We consider the feeling, sova, as launcher, resources. Sen, sova dark launcher, okay? Chu dark, sen dark more. We consider our mind as the entity. The self, and we consider the chu a dharma. This is not the dharma we are talking about practicing, but it's called dharma, a phenomena. as what? Yeah, base. So this meditation deals with this four perception, and this two mainly the okay, the body as a place of self, feeling forward is resources, I would say, won't you? I call it resources anyway.
Right, usually.
So I'd like to launch it as a resource of self, and then send the mind as a dragging more that the entity of self, and two or phenomena. Is the basis of self. The body, feeling, mind, we all know. And this chu or phenomena, what I included, it includes the dushe, for example. Dushe. What is dushe? Perception or notion. So this Trambanyavashawashi for mindfulness is that is at the time of Tholam, then Jhanam. Tholam is the first path. Jhanam is the second path of application, gaining the strength. Both the Shine and Phalpon, the Shamatha and the insight, especially insight. And then third path of seeing. Entering in the column, then you are also, you know, you have heard 10 bhumis, 5 paths and 10 stages, and they go together. They are not separately going in different directions. From third path, you have entered the stages, the first stage. Then second, third, fourth, up to 10. And during this, the third path is being what? Strengthened. In the middle of long, gaining the final or no more learning. That is attaining Buddhahood. Okay, according to these are all according to Paramitayana, Sutrayana. Or general Mahayana system. Okay. Shall we stop? Yeah.
That's good.
Well, someone asked yesterday, who's great?
There's a couple of questions here.
Yeah, yesterday I got one.
Yeah, I have it here.
Ignorance and...
Maybe I'll read it so that people can hear on the internet.
And ask, and also answer some of them by yourself. And some pass to Bhishma.
So here, it appears that karma is caused by ignorance. It also seems like ignorance is caused by karma. Do they in fact co-emerge, arising simultaneously?
Not simultaneously, but you know, I think that person is thinking the 12 links of existence. In that one circle, if we think only one circle, of course, first is ignorance, second is karma. So in that way, ignorance is first, and karma is second. And then one by one, but yeah, co-emerge means what? Rising together.
Yeah.
No, one circle. In one circle, it doesn't. Two things, or these two things don't arise simultaneously. This order of the 12 links, it should be treated as a separate subject. It's not that easy, because it's not just after this is after this, 12, that's all. It's not like that. Okay, that's enough. Hmm. Next.
So then, the other question is, last Sunday we discussed devoidness and no self as refutations of Hindu and lower school philosophical viewpoints about what exists, respectively. Madhyamaka and mind only deny the existence of any self, but they do hold that consciousness, a karmic stream, or fundamental Buddha nature have existed since beginningless time. Does it follow that conventional objects are merely a transient manifestation of this consciousness or mental or karmic stream or fundamental Buddha nature?
Is it you?
Yeah. But Tom.
You. You explain me the question.
Well, so it's a thought to explain, try and find.
Don't make it long. What is the essential question? Okay, let me say this. Okay. No self. All the Buddhist school of thoughts, all Buddhist schools of thought talk about no self, okay? Dharma. They don't mean the same. For example, the schools other than Prasangika Madhyamika? When they say no self, they mean firstly that there is no such self as asserted by non-Buddhists, okay? And also they say there is no such self which is truly existent, okay? Svatantrika Madhyamikas, they say there is no true existence. They also deny truly existent self. So different levels of denying the self or Atma are there. For example, next to Prasangika Madhyamika is Svatantra Madhyamika. They say no true existent self. But they still search, okay, no self which exists truly. But then how the karmic system works, what is that which goes from this life to next, and they find something. Svatantrika, Madhyamika, within that again there are two, but we don't go into this. Some say it's the mind, the sixth sense, which troubles. Some other of the same Madhyamikas say they agree with mind only school. They say, okay, there's Alaya Vigyan. Okay? And then now the highest, we say highest. Madhyamika, or this system, Prasangika, they say there is no such thing, anything, not only self, nothing exists which is which is anything more than mere labeled by concept. Everything is labeled, just labeled by concept. There's nothing more than that. So they don't talk about any kind of, they don't have to accept any particular entity as basis of the person. Right. So, there are two. Non-Buddhists, they talk about Atma, and when they find, when they search for that Atma, they always say it is It is somewhere. It is somewhere. But they don't try to search within us. And somewhere, Atma is very important. Everybody in India talks, whether intellectual, practitioner, academic, rickshaw puller, everybody can talk something about Atma, middle dimension Atma. But they think, okay, somewhere. It is there. But they don't try to find from the aggregates. The lower, so-called lower system of Buddhist thought, they, when they talk, they say, they, that should be found from within our aggregates. And Prasangika Madhyamika, they say, there is person, but don't try to find it. Okay. Okay, you stop.
Yeah, we can stop there. Thank you, Rinpoche.